Peter chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 11, and we're still talking about Jesus takes care of us. What does Jesus do for us? And he takes care of us. Well, I want to look at some verses of Scripture, and I did some study into this, and I've changed it around, worked it around, and drove Marky crazy as he's trying to get the slides produced for it and everything. And I keep adding verses and taking away verses. And then, as God began to work in my heart, and I looked at these verses this morning, I think it's important sometimes that we slow down just a little bit and look at what that verse is saying. And I thought about some of the Greek and Hebrew translations of what we're going to look at this morning that I think is important for you to be able to grasp a hold of, to be able to understand what is that word talking about in that verse. What is that scripture saying? What does it mean? What is God trying to tell us? And sometimes it takes us going back to that Greek and Hebrew and doing a word translation and a word study to understand what is it that it's talking about. What is it that it is saying? So I hope you'll bear with me this morning as we kind of scale back just a little bit, because I want you to get the meaning of this verses. I want you to get the meaning of what the word is trying to say to us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verses 6 through 11. Go to the Lord with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing amongst us, the Lord. Thank you for Miss Hamilton being here today. And God, as she said, the devil can't rob her of her joy. God, she still got joy. The devil is nothing but a liar. As Miss Hamilton said, he is a liar, the Lord. And he is the master of it and the deceiver of it. And Lord, how we can go through so many things in life and have things taken away from us, God. And this is what we're going to talk about in the scripture today, the Lord. And things of that nature. And the war and lion. Raging, devouring those that are around us, seeking whom he may devour. And God, how your word is there, and how Miss Hamilton's testimony, the Lord, and what she said ties into the scripture. What Sandy sang about the Lord, that grave is not going to hold us down. That one day, just as you arose, we're going to rise victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Lord, we thank you for that time. God, we thank you for your presence being here today. God, as we've already prayed several times, defeat the devil, bind him up, and lock him out. The Lord, he's not welcome here. Let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our hearts and in our minds today. God, may we, when we open up your word, it is your word. God, I pray your anointing of the reading of your word. Your word is precious, God. And Father, I pray that it goes forward, that it accomplishes that which is pleasing and honoring to you. That, God, it cuts where it needs to cut. It pierces where it needs to pierce. That, God, we are open up our ears, open up our hearts, and open up our minds to receive your word today. God, may we not just be hearers of your word, but may we be doers of it. May we apply it to our life, that we can carry it outside these church walls, the Lord, and take it and run into folks that need to hear about the message, need to hear about your love and your mercy and your grace. God, fill this place with your presence today. Hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Use us to deliver your word, the Lord, today with power. God, we're going to thank you. God, we're going to praise you for what you're doing. Thank you for your presence already being here and filling this place. God, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 through 11 says this: humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. And I'm going to key back on these verses because there's some things here that I want us to pick up. Here lately when I've been studying God's word and I've been reading it, God has been showing me things in his word. God has been revealing himself to me to pick up on things when I'm reading them. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because of your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may be to devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, brethren, that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To the glory of God. When you sit here and you look at these scriptures, And you begin to read them, and you begin to look at what God is saying to your heart and my heart. If you're taking notes, number one, I want you to look at verse 6. It starts out saying humble. You know, we need to be humble. Humility is thinking less of yourself, but thinking yourself less. Being humble, you know, and God has a way of humbling us. My friends, so many times people begin to get arrogant and boast in the ministry. And I've seen God where he just yanks the carpet out from under their feet because it's not about them. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. And we understand, we give him the glory and credit where it is due. Here we see the Greek word and the Greek verb for humble. It's in a passive voice is what he's doing. It which could be translated, be humbled. In this case, it is the hand of God that humbles us. It is the hand of God that humbles us. It is God's way that he deals with you and me as his children. There's a way of humbling us. You know, I thought about my boys. And I thought about when sometimes they get a little mouthy. And sometimes they think they're the boss and things of that nature. Well, mom and dad have to humble them sometimes. Amen? Oh, me. And I'm sure if you had parents like I did, you were in the same boat and mom and dad had a way of humbling you. Amen? It's called the paddle. It's called the belt. It's called the leather strap or whatever it is. There was a way, taking things away, there was a way to humble you. And you realize that you wasn't the boss of the house, the mom and daddy was. Amen. Well, it's the same thing as a child of God. There are times in our lives that the Lord has to humble us to get our attention to realize that we're not the one in control. That we're not the one in control of our life. That God is the boss. That Jesus is the boss. He is the shepherd. And he has a way of getting our attention. He has a way of us understanding who's in control. We must submit to the Lordship of Christ, my friends. And when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that is when God himself exalts us. Look back at verse 6. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under what? The mighty hand of God. And if we do that, what does he say? That he may what? Exalt you. Exalt you in due time. Humbling ourselves under him. Sometimes, my friend, it takes tragedies in life that will come up. Sometimes it takes tragedies in others' life. Sometimes it takes storms. Sometimes it takes a calamity to humble ourselves. Sometimes some things are allowed to get our attention. But it's because God loves us. But as Miss Hamilton said, what the devil meant for evil, God means for good. You see that in Romans. In Romans 8:28, it says this. It says, and we know that what? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We don't understand things that happen in life. I don't understand it, but I have faith believing in God that he knows all about it. I have faith believing in God that he's got it under control, that he will work all things out for the good. What the devil means for evil, God means for good. That if we would just allow ourselves to be humbled in the situation, allow ourselves to be humbled. As Miss Hamilton said, the devil's nothing but a liar. He's a liar. He'll tell you this or that or the other. But you see, the mighty hand of God comes through every time. God comes through every time he works those things out for the good for you and for me. God's rule, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Humility means accepting God's rule instead of ours. Humility means seeing God as king, seeing God as Lord, seeing God as boss in your life and my life. It means seeing him for who he is. God is the one that's in rule. It means accepting his rule when we don't understand it. There's a lot of things that we might not understand, but my friend, it means accepting his rule anyway. Accepting him, being humbled by that. It means accepting him. It means accepting his rule when he doesn't give us an explanation. Accepting it. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the Greek language, in humility, it means to make low. It means to abase. It means to make small or to weaken. My friend, when we're in the presence of Almighty God, I can tell you if we see him for who he is, he will be big and we will be small. He will be king and we will be servant. My friend, when we place him in the proper place of servanthood in our life, there's not a problem with you and I stepping aside and letting God be God. There's not a problem when we put him where he needs to be in our life and we put him in the throne, on the throne seat of our life. That means in your heart. And you allow him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You allow him to rule and reign in your life. You put him in the proper perspective and place in your life, my friend, and you won't mind being a servant for him. Because everything is in proper alignment. God is where he intends to be in your life and my life. So verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And he says, you know what? He will lift you up. He will lift you up in verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he will exalt you in due time. So if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, then it's God that's going to what? Lift you up. Amen. It's God that's going to lift you up. It's God that's going to bring you up when you humble yourself under his mighty hand. Humble yourself under him. Not only that, but verse 7, if you're taking notes, be dependent. Be dependent upon the Lord. Be dependent upon him. Becoming intimately dependent on God. Be dependent upon the Lord. Understanding you and I can't, but he can. You and I can't, but he can. And understanding to be dependent upon him. Look at verse 7. He says, casting all your care upon him for a what? He cares for you. Casting your care upon him because he cares for you. Oh, whereas pride makes one self-reliant. Humility positions us to recognize and accept our dependence upon God. Humility allows us to recognize our dependence upon the Lord. Oh, listen to me. Sometimes pride gets in the way and we see ourselves as self-reliant. That I don't need the Lord in this situation. I can handle this or I can handle that. Yeah, go ahead and try. And when anybody ever tried that before? Amen. Oh, Serena, you're the only one telling the truth in here today. I need to preach online. Anybody ever tried it your way before? Amen. This is called interaction here. You know, tried it yourself your way before, and where did it lead you? In a mess. Get yourself messed up. But when you rely on God and you turn it over to him and you're humbled in him, he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will give you the grace to sustain you. Oh, listen to me. The Greek word here translated for care and anxiety. It says casting all your care upon him for he care for you. When you talk about care and anxiety, here it's used to express the burden. And I want you to get this. It's used to express the burden that comes with anxious care and apprehension. Instead of fighting this, we're to turn it back over to the Lord. Give it to him because God is sovereign. When I looked at that, I said, Lord, what are you saying in this verse? God, how can we apply that? He turned me over to Psalms 55:22. He turned me over there and it says what? Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall what? Sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Do you get that? Do you understand it? Do you see what the Lord was, he's speaking, and as he was speaking to me, and I looked at that, I said, wow, God, I get it. You ever get it? When he's speaking to you, you're reading his verse, and it pops out to you, he said, thank you, Lord, I get it. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And then what did he say? And he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And I looked at that. I said, wow, Lord, it means cast ourselves upon you. The interesting thing about this verse in Psalms 55 is the Hebrew word translated burden. Burden in the Hebrew word that's translated means what he has given you. What he has given you, burden in the Hebrew and the Greek word of translation means what he has given you. So get this. The literal translation might read, throw upon the Lord whatever burden he has assigned to you, and he will sustain you as you bear it. He will not allow you to totter or waver. Woo! That'll make a Baptist want to shout, amen. Did you get what that verse is saying? Throw it back up there. 9 of Psalm 55, 22. Did you get it? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now leave it there. Watch this. Take it in a little translation. Here's what it says. Throw upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Throw upon the Lord whatever burden he has assigned to you. And he will sustain you as you bear it. He will not allow you to totter or waver. Cast it upon the Lord. What it is he has given you. Say, God, I don't know what it is, but whatever you just gave me, whoo, it's weighing me down and I can't handle it. So guess what? You gave it to me. So God, since you gave it to me, I'm going to give it back to you because you can sustain it for me. Amen. Whatever it is on you that's come upon you, it's come upon you, but God, I'm giving it back. Sandy, I'm giving it back. I'm giving it back to the Lord. He's got it on me. Heather, I'm giving it back to the Lord. He said he won't put nothing on us that we can't bear. He won't put more on us that we can't bear. He has allowed it to come upon. God, whatever you have given me, God, I feel it is so heavy right now. God, I cast it back on you. God, I give it back to you, Dave. I give it back to you, Lord. And I know in giving it back to you, God, you're going to sustain me. You're going to sustain me. Miss Sharon, 2 back surgeries here this morning. God, whatever it is you give me, God, I can't deal with the pain. God, I'm giving it back to you. Lord, I need your help to sustain me. Sustain me. Oh, casting that burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Throw it upon the Lord, whatever burden he has assigned to you. He will sustain you to bear it. And he will not allow you to totter. Wow. Throw it upon the Lord. He's the one that gets it. He's the one that sustains you. Not only that, but if you're taking notes, be alert. Be alert in verse 8. Be alert. He's telling us. Be alert and have self-control. Be alert is what he's telling us. Look at this verse in verse 8. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. What does that mean? Be alert. Be alert because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Be alert. That verb's translated here, sober and vigilant, literally means to be mentally calm and alert. Means to be mentally calm and alert, both at the same time. That's amazing, isn't it? Being mentally calm and alert is what it's saying. Be sober, be vigilant, be mentally calm, be alert because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. Be mentally calm and alert. Oh, instead of being anxious because we are dependent upon the Lord, we can be mentally calm and yet alert when we are waiting upon the Lord. When we give it to him and we wait upon him. The imagery here is it says it's like a hungry lion on a prowl, looking to whom he may devour. That's what the devil is. He's like a hungry lion. He's looking to see who he can eat up. He's looking to see if he can eat your lunch. He's looking to see if he can rob you of your joy. He's looking to see if he can just destroy everything you got and defeat you so you'll be an ineffective Christian. But no, you can get up and you can sing about joy. You can get up and you can sing about what the Lord is doing. You can get up and sing because Jesus rose. You and I will rise one day. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Woo, glory. It didn't hold Jesus down, and it's not going to hold me down. And if you're a child of God, it's not going to hold you down. Because he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You and I will rise one day. It tells us that in 1 Thessalonians. My friend, it tells us that one day there's going to be a shout. There's going to be the voice of an archangel. There's going to be the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're going to rise. We're going to rise up out of that grave. We're going to come up and we're going to rule and reign with the Lord, victorious in glory. He said in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with them words. I can find comfort in that. I can find peace in that of knowing that I'm his child. And because he arose, I'm going to arise one day. Oh, listen, the roaring lion, He's like a lion. He's roaring around. He's prowling to seek who he can devour. And when I looked up that translation in the Greek and Hebrew on devour, it means to consume or to swallow up. The devil wants to consume or swallow you up. Devour you, consume, and swallow you up. Oh, listen, he's the enemy of our eternal enemy of our souls, my friend. He's the enemy of the believers. From the beginning of time, back in the Garden of Eden, Satan was a deceiver. Satan was a liar. He was an enemy of God back from beginning of time. My friend, and we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to be looking and on guard for him because, my friend, he's seeking out to destroy you and me. Not only that, but you look at verse 9. Be tenacious. Look at verse 9. It says, whom resists steadfast in the afflictions, or who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He's going back and he's talking again that we have to humble ourselves. And in humbling ourselves, we find a newfound strength in God. When we humble ourselves, when you don't think that you got no more strength in you, you don't think you got nothing left in you, when you humble yourself before the Lord, he gives you strength to endure. He gives you strength to keep on keeping on. You find your strength in the Lord and in him. He tells us, my friend, in the direct relationship between faith and the ability and overcoming things in life is found also in Ephesians 6. When you go back there in verse 11, and he talks about, you know, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God that you may be what? Able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the full armor of God. You want to know how to stand against the devil? You can stand against him in Jesus' name. But putting the full armor of God on will allow you and me to stand. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the trickery of the devil. We got to put on the full armor of God, taking that shield of faith, applying it. Not only that, but James 4:7 talks about us submitting ourselves to the Lord. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And what? Resist the devil and he'll what? Flee from you. Resist him. Stand fast in him. Submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist him. Buff him in the name of Jesus. When the devil came up to Jesus after he was in the garden 40 days and 40 nights and things of that nature, and he was praying, the devil come up to him and tried to tempt him, saying, you know, make this stone into bread and this and that and the other, and taking him up on the pinnacle, showing him all this stuff. And Jesus said what? It is written. It is written. Get that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of God's mouth. And he said what? Get thee behind me, Satan. When he comes up to you, resist him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He's got to go. Not only that, but when you look back at 1 Peter 5:9, he says this, whom what? Resist steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Resist the devil. He's got to go. He cannot be around where God's people is. Oh, David stood before Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:47. And what does he say? And all these assemblies shall know that the Lord saveth, not with a sword or spear, for the battle is what? The Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. He said, we don't got to come with a spear and a sword. The battle is the Lord's, and he's going to give you into my hands. Get thee behind me, Satan. It doesn't matter how big the giant is in your life. It doesn't matter about how big the Goliaths are. The battle is the Lord's, and give it to him. God will see you through. God will bring you through. Not only that, but Moses and the people stood between the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh. And Moses told the Israelites in Exodus 14:14, he said, the Lord shall what? Fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. It's the battle, it's the Lord's. the Lord will fight for you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's going on in your life. Stand fast in the Lord. Keep your faith in Him. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Stand fast in your faith. Oh, be tenacious about what God is doing. God has your back. He's got your front. He's got your sides. He's got you surrounded. Give it to Him and let Him take care of you. Oh, not only that, but be prepared. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, be prepared. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Be prepared. It's coming. Be prepared. Oh, yay. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. As Peter was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote these words to the early church and penned them down for you and me. Persecution of Christians was spreading then. And look out, because it's coming again. Look out, because it's coming again. Our hope is in the triumph return of Jesus to this earth. The triumph return of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I told you last week, Jesus came as a lamb led to the slaughter back then. But my friend, He's coming the next time as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to set up His throne to rule and reign for all eternity, my friend. He's not coming meek as a lamb. He's coming back, my friend, to put the devil and his angels in their place and to receive you and me unto His glory. He's coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, listen to me. He's coming again. Oh, listen, we might have to suffer things for a little bit, but understand, I say it all the time, I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of heaven that's trying to make it through this world, my friend. Oh, listen, my citizenship is way up on the blue. My citizenship is with the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When I gave Him my heart and I gave Him my soul, my friend, He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And my friend, this is not my home. This is a temporary dwelling place. My home is for eternity, and that's with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where my home is. It's in eternity with Him. Oh, we're just pilgrims. We're just sojourners. We're strangers in a foreign land down here just trying to make it till Jesus comes back and gets us. Trying to make it, my friend. Oh, listen, be prepared. Be ready. Not only that, but if you're taking notes, be assured. Be assured. Look at verse 10. It said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you what? Perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here are the promises that God accomplishes His purpose in us. There are four things. Notice the adjectives that Peter used to describe God. He is a God of all grace, a God that shows unmerited favor towards us. My friend, and he starts out saying that He has suffered a while in verse 10 will make you what? Perfect. To bring us to wholeness, to make you perfect. In the Greek and Hebrew word of perfect means to bring you into wholeness, nothing lacking, complete us in every way. That's exciting, amen. Make you perfect, nothing lacking, bring you into wholeness and complete you in every way. That is the only thing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can do, my friend, is bring you that. Not only that, but Tanya and I went through marriage counseling a long time ago before we ever got married. And we were sitting down there and we were going through counseling and we were reading the books. And when you go through that and you look at Genesis chapter 2 and it begins to tell you that God saw man and He seen man that needed a helpmeet. And so He made woman out of the rib of man. He brought them together and He said, no longer are they one flesh, but they're one flesh in the eyes of the Lord. And when you look at the Greek and Hebrew translation of helpmeet, it means completer. And every so often, Tanya and I would text one another or say it at night or in our prayers. We'd say, honey, nobody completes me outside my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nobody completes me like you do. And she'd text me back or say it or just out of the blue and say, I want you to know I'm incomplete without you. I'm here to tell you, my friends, the same thing. If you're here today without Jesus, you're incomplete. But the completer is here. The completer wants to complete you. My friend, he wants to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior and wants you to understand that we're incomplete without the Lord. We're incomplete without him. Oh, listen to me. He wants to complete us. He wants to make us perfect, bring us to wholeness, not lacking in anything. Complete us in every way. Not only that, but he goes on to say, to establish or to confirm us. The Greek and Hebrew translation here is, the ideal here is to make us firm. Rather than being uncertain and weak, we are to resolute and be determined in our faith. He wants to establish you in your faith. He wants to root you. He wants to ground you in your faith. I was at the nursing home last Monday, and I talked to them about being rooted. I brought some seeds in, and we were talking about seeds in life and how we throw them out. And some fall on stony ground, and some fall amongst the thorns, and they come up and suck them and choke them down. Some fall in good soil and spring up and bring forth fruit. But I say we got those things in our life. But what the Lord wants us to do is take the stones away, take the thorns away, take those that is devoured by the enemy and put you on solid ground, put you in good soil that you can grow, you can be discipled, you can be trained and brought up to produce fruit for him. Oh, listen, he wants to do that to you and me. He wants to establish us. Not only that, my friend, in that last verse, not only that, but he wants to strengthen us. When I looked at the Hebrew and the Greek word for strengthen us, that means he will use the difficulties to make us stronger, to enable us to face anything he allows to come our way. We can face anything he allows to come our way to strengthen us. And then not only that, but he says to settle you, to settle you. The picture of the Greek word here paints for us is a foundation that is not shaky, but has settled and is firmly founded. My friend, that's what he wants to do. And when I thought about that foundation, I thought about what the Lord wants to do, and I thought about settling us. I thought about what he said in 1 Corinthians 3. And verses 5 through 15, he goes to say, when then Paul and Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord God gave to every man. He said, I have a planted, and Apollos what? Watered. And God gave what? The increase. He said, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And here we go. I want you to pay attention to these verses following. It says, for we are what? See there, I thought y'all wasn't paying attention. My mouth was going a little too fast for fingers in the back. Amen. Give Marky and Nana a handshake. I don't know how they clap. I don't know how they stay up with me to begin with anyhow. He says, so where am I at? There I am. Back in verse 9. Somebody keep me straight. It says, for we are what?
Laborers.
Where?
Together.
You know, it's amazing the peace and the love and the harmony that is in this church. Thank God for the love. Thank God for the peace. Thank God for the harmony. Don't let the devil know it, because he'll whisper it in your ear and turn you against everybody. And everything. And the preacher too. But anyhow, thank God for the love, the peace, and the harmony that we're experiencing in this place. But you know what? It's because we are what? Laborers together with God. And it said, and God's husbandry, that means his field. We are his field. And you are God's what? Builders. You are God's builders. It said, according to the grace God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth their own, and another buildeth their own. Let every man take heed how to what? Build their own. Get these next verses. He says, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For this day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what work it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, which is so by fire. You know, and I thought about that. I thought about in chapter 4, that same scripture there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2, it says this. It says, let every man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. He says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful. The Lord wants to establish you. The Lord wants to perfect you. The Lord wants you to be found faithful in His ministry and in His work. He wants to use us for His honor and glory, my friend. But first of all, we got to be humbled enough to allow Him to. First of all, we got to come to Him humbly. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. Be humbled and understanding that it's all about God. It's what God is doing. Be dependent upon Him. Cast your care upon Him, my friend, for He cares for you. Be dependent upon God. And then, as I said, be alert. And verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, be alert. The devil is real, and he's seeking whom he may devour and consume and swallow up. Be alert. Be alert. Be tenacious, understanding it's about God and submitting ourselves to Him and resisting the devil. He's got to flee. Be prepared and be assured. Be assured, but the God of all grace, in verse 10, hath called us unto an eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. Make you perfect. Establish you, strengthen you, and settle you, if you allow the Lord to. Maybe you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. He's standing at your heart's door today knocking. He's knocking at your heart's door and saying, will you open up? Will you let me in? Will you open up? Will you let me in? He wants to come in, and He wants to be your Lord, and He wants to be your Savior. He wants you to be humbled and submit yourself to Him so that He can use you for His honor and glory. Will you give it to Him today? Will you give your heart to Him? He says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon Him today? Will you call upon Him today? Will you give your heart and life to Him today? Oh, listen, you might be here and you might be looking for a church home. I'd love to be your pastor. This church would love to be your home and the family of God. Oh, listen to me. What is it? Will you give it to Him today? Will you give it to Him today? Will you realize the devil is real? The devil is real. And my friend, we always got to be prayed up. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be alert. He's real. And He's seeking to destroy what God is doing here. What a perfect place of peace, harmony, in love we are experiencing here. And my friend, there's only one thing that can change that, is if you allow the devil to come in. If you allow him to come in, there's only one way he can get in here, is if you bring him in. And my friend, be vigilant about that. Keep him out. Keep him away. He's not welcome here. And let the presence and the harmony and the love that we're experiencing here to continue. And it can when we got Jesus, Lord of our life, and making him Lord of our life.